morning, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast excellence.
Did we mention today is pretty darn close to perfect in terms of the weather out there? Does anybody have a complaint to lodge about what we're dealing with today?
Not a single one. I sat outside for like an hour on the patio.
Gorgeous.
Today, just taking it in.
I covered myself under blankets. There was a chill in the air. I was very concerned that when the wind kicked up and it felt like it might have slipped down to 71 from 72. I'm like, all right, here comes the fall.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
I did catch another fresh wave of football scent. I go, it's getting close.
It's Kev's Spidey sense.
It's
for football, though. The chill in the air.
The heavy breeze rolls through. You hear the branches kind of moving around a little bit.
He gets like a cat. He's like, what? What is it?
Pretty much. Yeah. What was that? Was it football?
We welcome Lauren back to the show.
Yes.
We miss you so much.
We missed you, Lauren.
We missed you.
I was locked in a room for so long, guys. We'll have to talk about that.
Now, normally,
if you want to.
when I have been locked in a room, it's generally at the behest of law enforcement. In your particular case, it is the you went through a study, right?
A sleep study and a nap study, which I didn't even know existed at first.
I don't even know how I would do that. I can't sleep
either.
On demand.
I can't. That's what I just said, exactly what I just said to you in the break room. Like, okay, take a nap now. And that's the hard part, because even if you're tired, you're like, okay, you get 20 minutes. You're like, oh no, wait. Has it been like 10 minutes already? Oh, no. Fall asleep. And then, of course, you know.
Always works.
Not really
ready. When you yell at yourself to fall asleep, it always puts you to sleep.
How long were you in there?
So I was there for the sleep portion at night. Obviously, that's overnight. But then the day nap part is as soon as you wake up from the sleep study part, 2 hours from then, you try and take a 20-minute nap. And that continues every 2 hours for like usually 4 to 6 times, depending on how many times they want to test you. So it's an all-day thing. We're just waiting in this bed. It's kind of like a hotel room. And so you're sitting watching TV, keeping yourself occupied. You can't sleep when you want to sleep. You can only sleep when they want you to sleep. And then otherwise, just trying to figure out what to
do.
That's
extra, by the way. I've been to places like that, too. But that's different,
very different.
I think. Yeah, where they're
totally
telling you what
separate.
To do. Yeah. All right. Okay, so, and this is, do you want to discuss why you're doing this?
Sure. I mean, it's just, you know, sleep issues for many years, no matter how well I sleep or how long, whatever you want to say, in terms of proper procedures of maybe reading before bed, meditating, exercise. No matter what I do, I wake up feeling like I've never slept. So after a lot of tests and a lot of doctor visits and things like that, the best thing anyone could suggest was a sleep specialist. So finally saw one, and with the consultation, that's what they wanted. So hopefully we'll figure out what's going on. Because I know a lot of people have sleep issues out there. So they might understand.
Up with something such as you're grinding your teeth, or there's an issue with something.
Teeth grinding, narcolepsy. It could be based on just specifics of your sleep pattern. So are you reaching each stage properly? Are you in them long enough? Are you...
like the REM from the deep sleep REM, all those different things.
Sleep apnea.
That your phone now tells you have, that I had no idea that I had.
Teeth grinding's brutal. I got to wear a mouth guard at night. Like, I'm an offensive lineman putting the mouth guard in. Otherwise, my teeth will just disappear.
I had it bad in college to where I snapped my retainers at night.
Yeah.
What? But I don't do it anymore.
Oh. Well, that might be a little bit of a symptom right there. That might be a clue.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, with all the wires that were hooked up to me and all the machines, I don't know how I won't find an answer.
Yeah, you sent us a picture that looked a little like the Frankenstein picture. You know, like you were hooked up to so many
like
different devices,
so many wires.
How can
on
you
my
sleep with
face?
That stuff on your head? She sent the picture last.
We were all out last
night at different places, and this show loves each other so much that we couldn't help but send pictures of where we were. Like, we miss you guys. I really miss you. And so the one from Lauren comes in, and it looked like Scanners, the movie Scanners from the 1970s.
So bad. I think I scared Kim. I think she thought I was in the hospital.
I had to send her a private message just to make sure everything was okay.
It was, but the picture was like, I mean, it was crazy. It's like those Marvel, like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, that urban Marvel characters that all, you know, some evil doctor gave them superheroes.
They pass out, and then the scene fades to them, and they're like strapped to a doctor's table with tubes and stuff.
Or
and
I should be floating in a big thing of water, you know, being tested.
So when, we did that. That doesn't work.
When do you get answers?
Amazingly, apparently the doctor will already have all the data as of today, but I should know within the week.
Well, when he calls in, let's put him on the air. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
How'd Lauren do? Did she pass?
How many times did she threaten you because she couldn't fall asleep?
I can't sleep on demands.
This doesn't work.
What are you there to sleep whenever you tell me to?
I'm just like staring at them through the night vision and the camera.
Right. Those eyes. She's got these eyes, too, that are like, I'm going to kill you now. Right. Okay. Like a nurse comes running in. Is there anything else we can get you?
And now they can't sleep. So now they're just going to have nightmares of Lauren staring at them angrily because she couldn't sleep.
There's a line at the office where they all go for their own counseling.
Right.
I think everyone was like, come take a look at this girl. Look at her. Oh, my God.
She's staring at us.
Well, we wish the best.
Yeah,
comes out of this,
I hope they obviously find out what it is, because living life without good sleep is a terrible way to go through.
We should have a party when you could sleep again. Because we always
sleep
looking for an excuse to have a party.
Right, it's a Lauren can sleep party. Well, you know what we'll do.
Can you sleep? Are you sleeping yet?
We'll throw the party, and then we'll put you in like a case, like a glass case, and there'll be the bar. I think that would be kind of a nice thing. She's like
Sleeping Beauty.
In the case, and we just have drinks served on
top.
We pop
champagne.
Yeah.
She's sleeping!
Right.
Woo!
Yeah, that'll work.
Oh, the Bears game's on. All right, come on.
Turn up the TV.
All right, let's check in with Ben Bradley. He's in the WGN TV newsroom. He's got a story he'd like to tell us all about. And then we're going to talk about this story. I was on with Mr. Cochran today and Jisoo Kyi.
Uh-huh.
And there was a press release by the people at Arlington Park today.
I saw that.
That kind of changes, I think, the outlook for what's going to be going on there over the next couple of years. And Mitch Armantrout from the Sun-Times is going to join us to talk about that. And also about gambling, the parlay tickets we're going to be getting. How this gambling law has some other consequences. You know, when they sell it to us, it's all rosy and great. Oh, it couldn't be better. Oh, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to make so much money. And then when the rubber hits the road.
Right.
Doesn't turn out that way. And there are some other things that start to happen. And this thing at Arlington is one of them. We'll tell you all about what's happening there coming up in just a few minutes. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Row United Airlines is giving you another reason to fly the friendly skies.
Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom.
Hi, Ben.
Ben.
Is he ignoring me?
No, I'm sorry. The producer was talking in my ear.
How dare she?
But I'm
with
you.
Tell the producer this is our time.
Yes.
We only get you 10 minutes a day. That's all we request.
According to the probation office. Did you guys hear the good news today?
Of course we did. Ben, what was it?
Sure.
Lourdes had her baby.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't hear. Oh, a blessed event. I consider her a part of the show.
She is a part of the show.
I love Lourdes.
Yeah, she's the best. She and Matt had a baby girl, Madeline. They're going to call her Maddie.
Oh.
And if you would like a full dose of cuteness, just head over to Lourdes' Facebook page.
Okay, I got to do
She just
that right
posted
now.
A picture a couple of minutes ago.
Okay.
Baby came a little early last night, but everybody's doing well.
She was expecting September or something, right?
Yeah, she had planned to take this full week off so she could get everything all set up and ready to go.
Prepare herself, and then that's how that happens.
Yeah, but...
Baby had other plans.
Baby had other plans, so this is... she's just, I think, the world of Lourdes, and cannot be happier for her. She's
a pretty special lady. Ben actually having a human thought. Now, there is something right there. That is something right there.
You take every moment and turn it.
I'm just saying, it is a beautiful. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful person.
She is.
She's
very talented.
Great at her job, but she's also got a huge heart. And you don't get that with a lot of humans.
Yeah, I don't know if you've met a lot of people in this business. We're not known for being great people, but she is.
No.
She totally is.
Right, well, congratulations.
Oh, congrats to her and her husband.
She and Matt and Madeline, welcome to
Maddie.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, exactly. I asked if we could FaceTime her in the hospital during the 4 o'clock show. That went over about as well as you would imagine.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Good luck.
Very human. All right. What else is going on?
Well, we're also covering Hurricane Dorian. She's now a hurricane headed for Puerto Rico. We'll have an update on that as well.
We understand just along those lines. Mm-hmm. I know we have a lot of people who have got family in Puerto Rico living in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
This appears to now be moving in a way that will spare Puerto Rico the kind of devastating winds. There will be a lot of rain, though, associated with this in the mountains and where they've all already had their problems. And as you saw, if you were reading the president's Twitter feed today, he's got incredible empathy for the island of Puerto Rico.
Especially the mayor of San Juan.
Right. And
I think he already went to Costco to buy some more paper towels to hand out in the weeks to come.
It was a screed about how awful Puerto Rico is. And he said, and then another hurricane is heading toward Puerto Rico, of course. Like, well, now what does that mean?
How could you locate your island there?
Yeah. I mean, really? Of course, you know.
He also said he's the best thing to happen to Puerto Rico.
Yes, he did say that. Mm-hmm. He did say that. And that's how he ended the whole, which I think ends the argument right there completely and, you know, forever. Best thing ever happened. They should have a flag. They should put them on their flag, on their state flag. Hey, but just for the people who know, in seriousness, it does look like that's not going to be the sort of event that you had 2 years ago there.
No, but boy, the power grid is still so fragile there. You have tens of thousands of homes that still 2 years later have tarps for roofs.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly a fragile situation that we'll keep an eye on down there. The other thing we started looking into today, and I know you've reported on it just in your traffic reports in the last couple of days, and that is the tremendous amount of pedestrian deaths involving trains in our area. Just in the last 2 weeks in the Chicago area, we've had 6 people killed by trains. And in fact, I looked up the numbers, and a Metro spokesperson tells us that there have been 21 fatalities involving Metro trains so far this year. That's compared with 18 in all of last year. Now, the numbers do fluctuate, and, a significant portion, some say as many as half, are suicides. Metro has done a lot to try to put signs up at every station offering the number of the suicide prevention hotline, websites, other resources. But they haven't been able to really get a handle on
not much
on,
they can do. People will just step onto the tracks in a non-station area that you can get where you can access the tracks.
Yeah. You know, about a decade or so ago, I rode with a Metra engineer after we had a similar spike in deaths. Mm-hmm. And this guy had been a Metra engineer for decades, and he talked about just the enormous pain that he carries with him, and the conductor, who has to go out and check anytime there's been a train collision, and it's such an awful thing that one that somebody would get to that point where they would think that that is their only plan, their only out. But also these engineers carry the pain of what they saw with them for years.
The great stuff. I mean, I know it's hard to say it this way, but that story that you did a decade ago still sticks with me today. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how powerful I think that story is and what these guys do. And they have video now, right? Because they have video showing this because they want to see, what the actions were. And even the people who have to do the investigation of these, it's a very, very hard thing for them to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember from your story that the guy talked about, every day it haunts him. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're on a rail, right? I mean, they have to know what they're doing.
There's no way to stop.
No.
But when they see that, it's sort of like
don't forget it, mm-hmm, ever.
But they're anticipating it, too.
That's true.
Well, yeah, those
really
final
hard.
Few seconds, yes, they know exactly how this is going to end. And we struggle as a newsroom, in talking with Metro officials today, I know they struggle with it. Do you report it? Does that cause copycats? But in the end, we try to give the website and the phone number for people who need the resources. But also, you can't look away. You can't discuss it. You can't say this isn't an issue that's happening. I mean, it's 6 times, mm-hmm, somebody has died just in the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm, in our community. Not all of them were suicides. It is certainly, anyone who thinks they can beat a train, anyone who thinks that, oh boy, my rush hour train is coming and the gate is down, I better just run across it. You know what? wait, there'll be another train in 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes.
I know. Well, people like, they want to take that risk. They think they can handle it. And, you know, remember, we also, almost a year ago now, lost two Chicago police officers.
Oh. Yes.
Right, on the tracks.
Yep.
That were...
they're pursuing a suspect.
Right.
There were a couple of suspects.
Yeah, they were responding to a report of shots fired, and they went up on the Metro tracks, South Shore tracks there on the city's south side, and saw one train, didn't see the other coming in the opposite direction.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the tracks, you know, they have there's three sets of rails there. So just because you can see one train, you know, that you think you can get out ahead of, there may be another one you can't see that's going three times as fast.
Important reminder.
Yeah.
All right. And there was also in the news today, too, the we're going to get to this in just a few minutes. Ben and I were at dinner last night, as a matter of fact.
We were?
Yeah. And
well, you pretend not to. you're not going to remember it?
Well, I always wonder if Ro's going to bring it up because, you know, he loves to talk about how much he hates me. But then he would have to admit that we went to dinner last night. Right. And we saw a local legend last night.
Oh.
Yes, we did.
A local legend.
Oh,
and I'm not talking about our third dinner companion.
Yeah, we were with Mr. Ron Majors last night for dinner. We do
the
this.
Best.
Yes. Three generations of bitter men is the way we look at it. And
although Ron is the only guy who has gotten younger looking since he retired.
Oh.
Like, Ron looks fabulous, right? And he's happy.
He
and
does.
He's doing great. And he's just
smiling.
Tells
big.
So many stories.
For a while, he was rocking the David Letterman beard too, which I thought was really kind of funny.
I love that look.
Yeah. He did have the David Letterman glasses. Did you notice that last night?
Yeah.
I mean, they were more fashionable than any article of clothing I own.
So we're sitting at dinner, and in walks Chicago political legend Bert Nateris.
Yes.
And he stands at our table.
Boy, I haven't seen him in years.
And put on quite a performance, I would say, as he wanted to talk about all the things that are happening in the world and, you know, from national to local. And it was quite a moment. You know, he was always one of those guys that, you know, he gave the best floor speeches when he was in the city council.
Oh, they would go on for hours.
Right, and sometimes they were, they made no sense.
My personal favorite was, you remember when there was that whole debate over horse-drawn carriages in Chicago? And while some people are arguing it from a, you know, animal, you know, being humane to the animal and, you know, traffic, Bert Nateris was offended at the poop. And he's like, there has to be a way for the city to require these animals to wear a diaper.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I forgot about that.
Right? Yeah.
What about the horses?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. That's what he was going. What about the horses? In the traffic, what about the horses? And I'm like, I agree with him. I think the horse-drawn carriage in downtown Chicago is it's not only a nuisance, it's also a waste of time for everybody involved, including the horse.
Rose, you know, the only guy who's laying on the horn behind the horse.
No, the horse, listen, that, you ever see one of those horses that looks like it's interested in what it's doing?
No, they all look so bored.
Right, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe these tourists that just keep yapping. All right, that's the Hancock, okay. It's like, anyway, that's... It was really interesting to see him because, A, I thought he was no longer with us, and B, I it was...
By the way, you shouldn't have said that to him. I thought
that
was mildly offensive.
Did you say it to him?
You were dead.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I did not say that to him.
Okay.
Yeah. I did, but that's a separate issue.
No, but he seemed to be doing well and was certainly had a lot to say about the current state of political affairs in our city.
Oh, no question.
But like any good politician... Right after he unloaded a decade's worth of pent-up thoughts to three reporters, he said, now don't use any of that.
Oh. Whoops.
Right. Well, we didn't.
We just said it was nice to see him.
Yeah, we just saw him. We ran into
I wish I missed the characters. You know, our city council used to have so many characters, and we're losing them.
Yeah, they're all in jail. All right. thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, so let's check in now with Kim Gordon. She's in the WGN newsroom, and she's brought to you by Arkadek. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yes, a little more action, please. All the sacrifice and satisfaction in me. There you go.
A little more back.
a little less spark, a little less fight, a little more spark. And close your mouth and open up your heart and baby, satisfy me.
Yeah, that's you know, that's that Vegas Elvis moment right there, in which you just want to roll into a casino, right? So that when you hear that song,
Reminds you of one.
Yes, the problem is that you won't have to go very far to roll into a casino. Coming very soon in the state of Illinois. You might even be able to go down to our little lottery guy and start placing bets on the Bears. That could happen.
Hello, Mr. Patel.
Yeah, that could happen. But in the meantime, kind of a shocking story, especially for the northwest suburbs and people who are living in the Kevin Powell land, as we like to call it.
Powellville.
Powellville up in Arlington Heights, Mount Prospect, that area, Palatine, is that the owners of Arlington Park announced today by way of a press release that they are not going to be seeking a casino. They may be interested in a sports book, but they're not going to be going with a casino because they say they can't make enough money with it. Mitch Armantrout is with the Chicago Sun-Times. What is your reporting telling you now, Mitch, about what do they mean they can't make enough money?
Well, everyone's kind of trying to figure out exactly what Churchill Downs is doing here. Churchill Downs is the corporation that owns Arlington. We saw a couple weeks ago with the Chicago casino feasibility study that said taxes are too high to make a casino feasibility or feasible in the city. Some folks think that maybe, you know, they're trying to stack their own deck for negotiations and try and get a better deal in Springfield. But, it's kind of wait and see. It's everyone just trying to make sense of exactly what their end game is here.
It sounds like maybe you question that there is more of a strategic move from these businesses saying they're going to bid on, or do you think? I mean, it feels like when they say these are financially untenable, I actually sort of believe them. I feel like it seems like the city and the area have set up these very onerous taxing structures that make it like, hey, this would be a rough business to run.
Yeah, it's, you know, the taxes definitely are high for the whole industry. And I think kind of what we're running into here, we've had this, we've obviously had 10 casinos and down to 3 racetracks now. But, with potentially 6 more casinos coming in and video gambling terminals popping up at every restaurant and gas station you seem to stop into, I mean, you kind of got to wonder if we're hitting sort of a tipping point as far as the market, just where there's so many options out there. There and there's only so many gamblers to go around.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we're flooding the zone here. And so for Arlington Park, I was on with Mr. Cochran this morning. We were talking about this, and I've been in and around the horse racing industry pretty much my whole life, and I was a horseman who raced a number of times at Arlington. One of the reasons that we stopped racing at Arlington a few years ago is that the purses weren't high enough, and you don't want to risk your horses for a race that when you're going to put them in the exact same race against the same sort of competition in Kentucky or in New York or in Canada even, you are going to be making twice or three times as much money potentially if you place in the race. So there wasn't any reason, and a lot of horsemen did that. And so you ended up with, not particularly great racing. And they were having trouble filling some of the races even this season at Arlington, and there's still, I think, a month left in the season there, and there is something in this press release that is very haunting to me. They are scheduled to have racing next year and in 2021. That's what they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, they're saying they're leaving all their options open, but they would like a sports book. They have, at Arlington on the backstretch, they've got they have what is really a beautiful facility. They have an off-track betting facility there. You don't actually have to go into the park, and you can go there, and there's a restaurant, and it's a nice thing. And that's sort of a perfect structure for a sports book. That's about the size that the people who want to do sports books are looking for. They wouldn't necessarily need this gigantic multiple acre facility. And my guess is that, and this is just purely speculation, is that after 2021, if even that far, I don't know what their contracts are that require them to stay racing in 20 and 21, but that they will get out and they will turn that, because they have a license, they'll turn that into a sports book up there. And they bought Rivers Casino, right?
That's true. Yeah, they've got a 61% stake, you know, about 25 minutes up the expressway. So they're kind of creating, I mean, that's kind of the one view is that, you know, if they do add a casino to Arlington, then all they're the only people they're fighting against are themselves, really.
Right. So put all the assets into that. But a sports book is an interesting thing. That's where, you know, people go and they watch all the sports and they get to bet on all this stuff, which goes to the story that you did yesterday about these parlay cards, right? Which is, can you explain what is going to be happening here with the potential for parlay cards that you might be able to get at a, you know, a local magazine store or bodega?
Oh, yeah, you'll be able to get them at the gas station, convenience stores, 7-Eleven, pretty much anywhere. And this is a provision that was tucked into the new gambling law. You know, it's this massive law. It's like a Charles Dickens novel, but it's six pages devoted
to
this.
Did we know this going in? I mean, that's your point, Mitch, because it's a good point. They put so much into this, it took forever for everybody to figure out what it was that they were getting.
I get to do full time. I get to go through this bill, and I just got to this, you know, a couple of days ago. So, there's a lot in there.
So what are they going to allow there?
So, in this it's called a lottery pilot program, and basically, what they're going to do is they're going to have machines set up in, you know, your 7-Eleven, gas station, whatever, a little kiosk where, you know, and the sports haven't been decided yet which sports will actually bet on, but good chance it's going to be football. You know, you look at that week's NFL games and say, I feel pretty good about the Bears, the Buccaneers, and the Patriots, and, you know, that's your parlay card. And you take your card, and, you know, it's kind of like a lotto ticket, and you hold on to it, and if your predictions come right, you head back to the store, and you'll take your payout. So
is it a standard fee, or can you adjust how much money you want to bet on it?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because this is such a new program and there's really not a lot of specifics laid out in the law itself. So the lottery is still kind of putting together all the specifics on, you know, minimum wagers, how many teams you have to pick. All that is still very much up in the air.
And is it against a spread or is it just straight? And then that's another issue, right?
That's still yet to be.
God! I can't. I mean, Mr. Patel, a guy who runs our little store, that, you know, he's become a character almost on the show.
Yeah, right here in the building.
Right, I can just imagine because he's all about the NFL. He's all about the football. I cannot imagine how there will be lines for two blocks out of there. Just the conversations where, you know, people are going to go. They want their answer from the Swami down there about, you know, again, what three teams should they choose in their parlay? I mean, it's a really, that to me, again, now you have so much of this. The zone is so flooded. You really do wonder if each individual operator here who has, you know, spent a lot of money to get these licenses, potentially, mm-hmm. or will spend a lot of money to get these licenses, can actually sustain it. Because if you can go to the local 7-Eleven and still get that Jones that you're looking for out of betting on a football game.
Right, and pick up your milk or whatever else you're getting on the way home, that might be more attractive.
Changes everything.
Right, and, you know, that'll be interesting to see who wants to run this lottery program because, like all these other new gambling options, there is an operating license fee, and it's for the low price of $20 million, you can run this, this new lottery program. So chances are it's going to be one of those other casino giants kind of trying to swoop in with this new industry.
Now, it wouldn't be the people who run the Illinois lottery, then?
They'll be overseeing it, but it would be they'll be putting out a bid for a company to run the actual sports betting,
which is what they do for those games too, right?
I mean,
that's how Powerball and you know that's how that stuff all works,
right? All different contractors.
Yeah. Wow.
When do you imagine we'll feel, as you know, Chicagoans or people who live in this area, start to feel this new presence?
When do we become Pottersville? Is her question?
Yeah. Like when is Vegas? Do we feel like we're in Vegas?
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I feel like everyone kind of sees we've kind of seen the proliferation of video slots everywhere down the streets. We're going to see even more of that pretty soon. That'll probably be the first iteration of this gambling expansion. That's kind of the easiest thing to implement. But, you know, lawmakers say that sports betting could be just regular straight sports betting, not the lottery program, could be up, you know, by the end of this football season. That's probably a little optimistic at this rate. But you got to think it probably, you know, within the next 6 months or so, this is really going to start being a thing in the Chicago area.
It's a thing. It's going to be a thing. Right, it already was a thing. And then, you know, we were talking about this, too, because this is a two-pronged thing, because not only are we going to get the gambling, we're getting the pot, too, on top of it. And it's, you know, simultaneously. So everything is a little off. And it's interesting, there are a lot of parallels between how these licenses are being led and the kinds of other kind of contractors that have to get involved. If you're doing a marijuana store, you know, what is it that you're going to be able to sell? What are they going to be able to sell in terms of THC products in other existing, like 7-Elevens and things? So are you going to be able to go into the 7-Eleven and, you know, get your CBD with the THC and your, you know, and your three-card parlay and all of that? And you're like, it's like, it basically is like everything that is from some gangster movie, you know, from the 1970s, right? It's like going into a bar in Brooklyn and, you know, a young Robert De Niro is trying to sell you a parlay card, right? I mean, it's like, but now it's like, hey, we're all for it. We're behind it. And I just wonder if it's going to pay what we think it's going to pay.
We'll see. That's kind of the lingering question. That's sort of the carrot that's been dangled at the end of the stick by lawmakers folks. But, that's hopefully not too pie in the sky.
Mitch, what is the anticipated amount that the state will get or the city will get from the taxes? What are they banking on?
Good question.
As far as sports betting or just the entire...
Well, whatever you have, yeah.
Right, so sports betting, the governor says that once everything's up and running, probably raking in about $100 million or so a year, and that's with full implementation. You know, if we get a Chicago casino up and running at some point ever, you know, that's another $400 or so million for the state. They're big numbers, but it's kind of hard. This is pretty unprecedented all around, so it's hard to, you know, fact check those projections, but we'll be watching pretty closely.
You know, when you go to those places that have the video poker and stuff or whatever it is that you're in the bars now, it's the same people sitting at those terminals.
Kind of the same every day.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Every time I've been in places that have them.
So you wonder if it'll cannibalize, like it'll be the same folks going just to multiple places,
right?
Or if new people will...
Or does this really expand? And,
yeah.
And you know, will people be responsible about it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I won't. All right. Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob, for having me on.
All right. Mitch Hermantrout from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yeah.
I remember in the... denouement of Tanya Harding before she came back and, you know, resurrected her image to some degree after that movie came out. I'll never forget story of she and her mother would go to the same bar and play video poker for hours on end during the afternoon.
So she'd like skate in the morning and then go there in the afternoon?
This is after her skating career was over.
Later.
This is after the Jeff Galooly thing and all the other stuff that happened.
Right. Why?
Right, after all of that.
I mean, that was the other one, but you know.
Yeah.
Nancy Kerrigan.
That's all I think of when I think of that story.
These parlay cards are intriguing to me because people love picking, right? Even if you don't see, you go to the horse track, right? And people gather around, you put a couple bucks down, you look at the book. I like this one, this one, and this one. People do that. It's quick, it's fast. Oh, the Bears, Vikings, and the Titans. Okay. And you're on your way, and you know, like, people like doing this.
I'd agree. That's more fun to me, I guess, than just picking up a scratch off ticket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because you feel like there's some skill involved.
Yeah, or just,
there's some skill, but it's
something to talk
feel
about.
Like it.
It's I don't know.
Well,
those are intriguing to me. I think those.
You think those will go?
Those could work. I think
so. It'd be a three again, but there are no real rules here yet because it's Illinois.
They would have to be the line. The spread would have to be in play for all your picks,
right? Or the pick, or just the thing doesn't pay very much.
Right.
Either that, right? I mean, it would just you'd be paying $10 for the parlay card, and if you get all three right, maybe you get $30 back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get all three right, you don't win. And then, there's one other thing. I have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all of the money that's going to be spent on gambling, you do wonder if all of a sudden we're getting back into a world in which the fix will be in, whether it's the officials or a player.
Government.
You know, or a coach.
If ever a place to get that done, it's Chicago.
Right. We might have a little bit of a history with that. Don't bring that up.
Oops.
Someone's
thinking about the 100th anniversary. What?
I think that, yeah, that's definitely something to consider. But, you know, athletes now, though, are paid so much money. Is it worth it to them? Right? Wait, before, guys had part-time jobs outside of the season. It's a little bit different. When a guy's getting paid $20 million, you look at some of these guys in the NBA you never even heard of, and they get like four-year, $80 million contracts. What's it worth to them?
Not to mention incentives for doing well.
Right. I mean, there's so much dough already. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe changed a little bit where, I mean, if you go all the way back to the White Sox stuff, like that was, these guys were getting no money.
Right. That's
so
true.
You know, that.
But there could be the threat against it, like what they did in Russia, where it's, they just threatened their, like the KHL had that problem where they just threatened their lives.
Yeah. Right.
Or they
you're
came
right.
here and they threatened the lives of the NHL guys that left and that they would have to pay back, you know, to the oligarchs. Yeah. Or to Donald Trump. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody.
Deutsche Bank knows.
Deutsche Bank,
ask
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they have the records. Yes, indeed, we do have a record, yes. All right, that wasn't a German accent, was it? All right, let's check in now with Kim and find out what's going on at the top of the hour.
Ro, we're following the path of Hurricane Dorian. We'll let you know where it's headed coming up.
Kim Gordon's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. Mr. Richard Roper is going to be here today in the 4 o'clock hour. And in the 5 o'clock hour, the interview with John Travolta. The full interview will be all yours. So that comes your way. But first, Kim's News in 2. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
That's right.
That's her.
Mm-hmm. Me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, good news. This just breaking.
I don't know if it's good news.
That Pete Davidson, we talked about him yesterday, the guy from Saturday Night Live, he now has a new girlfriend.
Right. So just to backtrack, we dated famously Ariana Grande, got tattoos.
He got engaged.
Married, engaged. Right. And then somehow fixed those tattoos, and that broke up, and then was spotted with Kate Beckinsale courtside, or mm-hmm. what is it called, at hockey games. He was right there.
On the ice.
On the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. On the glass.
On the glass.
Ice, you know, whatever it is. Now he is dating Andie MacDowell's daughter. You know, famed American actress.
Mm-hmm.
Who somehow was in British romantic comedies, and I never quite figured out with her little, like, southern accent.
Right.
Like, why is she, why? Why is she there? How did she end up there that did ending up at four weddings and at least one funeral? Why?
I haven't seen that one.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
That's a good one. That's, you know, of all those British romantic comedies, that's kind of the godfather of them all. They all kind of are compared to that.
High praise.
Yeah. So.
I would know, because I haven't seen that either.
Isn't that what made Hugh Grant kind of...
Yes.
And then he was in all those other things.
Household name, right. And then he was on like Hollywood Boulevard once, too. it's a separate issue. So, so Pete Davidson, I predicted this, because he lost his... We had him in the top five yesterday, because he lost his poop at a concert that he was doing, a college concert that he was doing, at Central Florida, and he started yelling at the audience and insulting them.
Because they were holding up their phones and taking video of him performing.
He didn't like that.
Wait, he sings?
It was stand-up.
Stand-up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I yeah.
Oh, that's right. You weren't here for this yesterday. We have a little bit. Would you like to hear a little
locked
bit?
Locked in the room,
since you were... Okay, yes. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I remember now. Here is Pete Davidson not happy with his own audience at University of Central Florida.
That's what's... up about our dinner. They're like, yeah! It's like, wait, you were the one filming, moron. That's why we're embarrassing. That's why the world is going to end in 25 years. Because you're all retarded. Yeah, I meant it that way, idiots. You should grow up, okay?
Whoa. And at first people thought it was like a bit, it was going somewhere, and it just kept, he just railed everybody.
Yes.
It went on. And on and on.
And now, he was talked about how he was traveling and he was tired. I figured he got fired from Saturday Night Live. They just haven't announced it yet. Because
they're starting to, the cast, I saw Leslie Jones.
Has he
no longer part of it.
Been named like one of those normal full characters?
Full cast member?
Yeah.
No. I don't think that'll ever happen. Although they keep those people. That's like the craziest thing. I've yet to figure out exactly what's going on that plantation over there.
Yeah, it's like
at 30 Rock. Because it's weird. They got the main players, and then they have this ever expanding cast of junior players. And it's like you got to make, that's like the AAA team. They got to kind of make it up there. You got to make it up. And then you see, and then if Lauren likes you, you get moved up in terms of numbers of appearances. But he doesn't necessarily move you up to full-time cast member status.
Yeah, that is always so weird. They're always at the end. It's like, what, featuring? Blank, blank, blank.
You're like, wait a minute. How do you get under the featuring category?
Well, they're also featuring. They have people. I think that's the way they get away with all the criticism that it's, you know, not culturally diverse enough. Because they have the featuring cast. Half the names are unpronounceable.
That's true these days.
You need to buy a vowel. You need to buy. Sometimes you need to buy some consonants. I don't know. It's a whole thing, and it goes on forever. I mean, the opening role. By the time you can get after the opening skit, after you've seen, you know, the Trump bit, you know, at the very top. Although it's not apparently going to be Alec Baldwin this year, but whatever they're going to do at the top, then for the opening. You can go, you can leave the room, you can get in your car, you can drive to the 7-Eleven, you can buy a three-card parlay, you can get a six-pack of beer, have a conversation with the cashier, thwart a robbery, get back in your car, get home, and then it starts over again. Then they're just done with the credits.
Right. So, yeah, yesterday you heard Leslie Jones was not returning. Keenan Thompson was confirmed. Kate McKinnon is returning. They're confirmed. Entertainment Weekly had that, but Leslie Jones as
not confirmed.
Not coming back. And then you thought, well, hey, we're going to get the next shoe's going to drop, and we're going to hear about Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm. I think we still might.
Still might.
Because I think there's something real stupid going on right there with that guy. Real stupid-like. I mean, now he's dropping. All of a sudden, it's interesting that while they're deciding whether he's coming back, he's dropping that he's dating somebody quasi-famous. Because remember, that's the only reason they brought him back last year, was because he was with Ariana Grande. Yeah.
How did that happen?
How does he even get these girls? He seems so,
right,
I don't care about anything.
Right.
And
caustic.
He talks about his own mental illness. And he's got the sleeves going.
Well, wasn't the theory that
mm-hmm.
fortunate in a certain
mm-hmm.
department?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm.
just a rumor.
I don't know any female that would date someone simply because of that. I don't know why guys think that's a thing.
I didn't make up the rumor.
I'll tell you why we do. Well, I'll tell you why. Anyway, the point is that you've got a guy who is on the bubble. I don't think he's going to make the team. And this is a last-ditch effort to try to garner some publicity. Is she famous, Annie McDowell's daughter? Is she?
Yeah, she was in the Quentin Tarantino movie. She was part of the Manson group of recent. So she's an up-and-comer. She's 24. I mean, you know, she's been in some major films. I don't think as a leading lady yet, but certainly seems like she's doing really well.
So they're kindred spirits in that way.
Huh. All right. And you know, Lorne Michaels is back there now thinking, no, maybe I should have him back. Right? That's exactly it.
Maybe
we played right into it. All right, we'll have him back. Maybe we can get her to host. Did you see that that you're going to get Eddie Murphy, I think, do the premiere, right?
I can't wait for that.
I thought it was the Christmas show.
The Christmas show? Okay. I thought it was the premiere. I could be wrong about
Did you get
things.
The...
Yes, hold on. That's right. Thank you, Lauren, for the correction. That's the Lauren alarm.
How many things did you get wrong the past 2 days?
I know. Oh, I know. No, imagine. Can you?
We don't even know. Because, you know, it just went right over our heads. Didn't have a fact checker on board.
Thank God you're back. That's all we want
to
say.
Happy to have you back.
Yes, we are happy.
Thanks, guys.
We're very happy that you're out of being your head wired up.
Yeah, I found myself talking to, you know, the fake Ro and Anna and Kevin and Kim that weren't there because I was so bored all day.
All right.
Sleep study.
Let's do this. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news, and then other stuff.
Ro, more changes coming to the country's immigration laws. We'll tell you who they'll affect coming up.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Coming up on the program, Mr. Richard Roper will be here. There is a couple of things that we're going to be talking about here, including the new John Travolta movie, and then the full John Travolta interview coming your way at 5:40 today as well. And then we are going to play News or Ruse. Now, Jason Panetti was scheduled to play News or Ruse with us. I hate to disappoint because I'm a gigantic Jason Panetti fan.
Mm-hmm,
for people
me too.
Who see his work with the television broadcast of the White Sox, or his when not in White Sox season, you can find him on ESPN doing baseball, other baseball, and football. And basketball. He's one of the great young sportscasters in America, without question. I think the best young, the best of his generation so far. And we wanted to come on and play News or Ruse. He had got a scheduling kerfuffle.
Someone told him what News or Ruse is really about. What am I part of? What?
And so that didn't work out. And so we will get him after the season, without question. But
that'd be nice.
So then we were moving around to some other options because, you know, everybody's going to be at the White Sox tonight. This is, if we make the turn now toward September, this is a big, sort of end of summer kind of series against the dreaded, hated, feared, despised Minnesota Twinkies. Mm-hmm. And so this is a lot of people are out there. We're going to put somebody up on the live wire from there and have them. That's what they used to call it back in the 1930s. And we did that work out, Jeff? I'm producing. We don't know the answer to that. We're still working on it. Okay. We were thinking about having DJ on.
We're efforting that.
Yeah, but we don't know if DJ actually wants to do it.
Oh.
And for the same reasons.
What's that game?
And so here's, now I just want to say this is how sad this situation is. The celebrity on News or Ruse would then be Kevin Powell.
Wow, tough break for your show. bad look for your brand. The only celebrity we can get is my sports guy.
Yeah,
and he has to be here,
right? So that was
force him.
Yeah, you had to have been in the conversation when we were having it today. When Jeff was like, "Boss, let me just tell you something. We had a little bit of a problem." with Jason Benetti's schedule, so he won't be able to do it. Even though I was, you know, super excited about it, and I'm like, okay, I get it. And I, you know, listen, that guy is constantly in motion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he does so many things for television and the internet and all the rest of the stuff that he does there. So I get it. Okay, couldn't get him. Fine. Okay. Darren Jackson might be able to join us, but we're just not 100% sure. And I'm like, okay. Now, our backup is Kevin Powell. Have you met him?
I'm sure there was a few more even before me. What about Art, the tech guy? What about Julie from sales?
Yeah, we did ask
they
Julie
were busy.
From sales.
They were busy. Julie was very busy.
She passed. She
Jules
took a
pass. And Julie and Julia and all the there's 14 people here named in some form of Jewel, you know, finish the word. They all passed.
And then you kind of just settled.
Then we went into the management offices and we decided, you know, what about Mr. Manley? No, he couldn't do it. He's like, I have that thing
with a meeting with a guy,
Mr. Gallagher in the sales department, not interested
no.
in doing it. So we ended up with Kevin.
Yeah. So here I am. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. Unless
let me know if DJ does.
Unless DJ shows up.
Okay. Now I'm going to pencil in my name here on the scorecard.
I don't know. Does DJ even know he was asked, or am I announcing this on the air that he was asked and he didn't even know?
DJ's a nice guy. Why would he say no? Maybe he's got another obligation.
Well, you know,
think we know by now if he'd actually been asked and he was okay with it. Oh, we're getting the producer.
Oh, they're waiting for him to arrive. They haven't asked him yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so Zaz is out there, the producer of that.
Fiddling his thumbs, nervously waiting at the broadcast.
Now Zaz, I hope Zaz is listening to this out at the ballpark.
A lot of pressure, Zaz.
Right,
Go ask him.
Getting totally freaked out by this. Because I thought we'd already asked DJ, and that it was a go. And you don't, you know, please don't disappoint me.
So DJ might be in his car right now driving to Guaranteed Rate Field listening to this whole thing unravel. DJ, we love you.
DJ, you're awesome.
Yeah. Now he's driving the other way.
Please play News or Ruse with us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here for you guys. I'm in the bullpen. Staying loose if you guys need me to come in.
Okay.
If DJ can't do it and Art from Tech can't do
please,
it.
Please, DJ.
Bill from engineering.
The chief engineer. Because the engineer. Then the engineers. You cannot have an engineer on News or Ruse. Because then they will try to analyze the story itself.
Well, I did notice in the flux capacitor. I was,
it was like, that's not what's going on.
That's not how it's played.
Well, on one hand.
No. It's a nose or rose.
Don't rush me.
You know, you can't have that.
No.
All right.
So. Hopefully DJ will come through for us.
So stay tuned and find out who shows up for News of Roos.
Great, the promo.
What we're going to do is we're going to put Kevin though in a mustache and glasses, so that he'll be like a different Kevin. We'll make him we'll introduce him like he's a gigantic celebrity. Maybe people won't notice that he's just our Kevin.
And they'll know.
All right. Okay. Stay tuned for that. And he hates this game.
He does, and he's not very good.
He gets mad at it. He gets mad at the...
That's normally the segment I kick my feet up and kind of just relax while I listen to you guys all yell at each other.
Right.
It's my relaxing time.
It checks his phone.
Right.
Dips into his DMs. Does all those kinds of things.
Hey, yeah, pretty much.
Right. Hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Finds, you know...
It's my, 20-minute window to just check out and listen to you guys.
Might as well be in his car driving home.
I know.
Honestly. But here we
go. But I'm here for you guys if you need me.
Yeah, all right, fine, sure. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News being brought to you by AmericasBath.com. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio.
Hey, Rich.
Hello. Well, hi.
Well, hi. Hello to you.
What a lovely, lovely late summer day we're having.
I know,
I said the same thing.
It was just amazing. Couldn't get enough of it.
No, just get out of my way when I'm trying to walk to the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. People, I'm busy. I don't have time for chit-chat, even though I saw a friend of mine. I got no time for chatting. This is a radio emergency.
And scooters, get out of your way.
And Richard's complaining is being brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland.
It's not the first time I'll be complaining during this segment, let me tell you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about
that?
Coming up, the interview that we all did with John Travolta last week, the full interview.
Oh,
you'll be able to hear that at 5:40 today.
What a lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Yes, he really is. He really is.
Not what I expected. He was very engaging and warm.
You know, I spent time
with us.
There's some baggage in both cases, but the way I describe him to people always is Clinton-esque, the way he makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world when he talks to you.
No question.
The way he focuses on you. And I've seen him do it 100 times. It's not an act.
And it seems effortless and not an act, seem like he's one of those celebrities that asks about you and your environment. And
he's super curious.
And remembers, you know, if he sees you again, he'd ask you how your daughter is and things like that.
Right. No, he did seem that way, and he spent a lot of time after. I know you've met him many, many times, Richard, but he spent a lot of time afterwards with
him. You want to talk about his movie before we do the interview?
You want to do that right now?
Because then we could do some other movies in between that. Well, you know, here's the thing. John Travolta, you know, if he got behind the controls of his own plane and flew off into the sunset, never made another movie again, he'd be a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, right? With all those iconic roles he's done.
For sure.
The thing is, he's still out there swinging away, and unfortunately, this is this movie called The Fanatic, like last year's Gotti, is a passion project that goes off the rails.
Mm.
And as we will discuss in a little while, John Travolta, it's very interesting because he's been on the other side of the spotlight for most of his adult life, right? For 40 years, he's been on the other side of the velvet rope. Now he's playing a super mega fan who is kind of obsessed with the world of movies. He's on the spectrum. He's got a lot of social issues. And he's particularly obsessed with the movie star by the name of Hunter Dunbar, action horror star. And he tries to get his autograph, and it goes sideways, and then it goes really sideways, and then it becomes Misery meets the King of Comedy. That's basically, I think we have a clip right here of John Travolta in the movie.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan. Help! I just wanted an autograph. Wait!
So, is Travolta's performance good in it?
I think it's good. You know, it's an interesting choice because they never really flat out say what his condition is, but he's got a lot of OCD, a lot of tics, and certainly a lack of empathy. You know, he gets more upset about not getting his superstar hero's autograph than he does about actual physical harm to people around him.
And you would think, given his experience as this phenomenal movie star for so many decades, that he would know what it's like to have a fanatic fan.
Yeah,
and yet the one thing that was impressive when he talked to us was that he did speak of how he can understand how a fan might feel this way.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, it's an interesting premise, especially in the social media age where people think that if somebody, you know, responds to you, now you can be someone's Facebook friend of a celebrity. You can follow them.
That's
even
true.
The terms
you feel
are kind of like, you know, following, you know, on Instagram and on Twitter, the little bit we are following these people. You know, the problem probably is lays at the feet of Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit. And it's not just because I don't like Limp Bizkit, because they had a couple of good songs. But he's the writer-director of this movie.
Yeah, that seems strange.
And he's actually written and directed a couple of other movies. So he's done it. He knows how to direct. It's a pretty good-looking indie film. The script just isn't... the dialogue's really clunky. And certain things that happen would never happen even in kind of a heightened reality of a world, because it's just not the way things work when someone gets hurt or when police are involved and things. Anybody who's ever seen any CSI episode could solve some of the things that nobody in this movie can figure out. CSI anything. CSI Ann Arbor. You know. CSI Berwyn. No matter what CSI you've seen, you're like,
Cicero,
smarter
CSI,
than the
Cicero? I don't think so.
Well, maybe.
Hey,
not.
What happened to that sample?
So,
I don't know. Who's asking?
Well, that's true. Okay. I stand corrected. Two stars. It's not a terrible movie. It's kind of a curiosity item. I'm still waiting for someone to write the next great role. I think John Travolta has at least one more. You know, it happened 25 years ago when Quentin Tarantino cast him in Pulp Fiction. Everybody was like, why are you putting the guy from Look Who's Talking 3, who hasn't had a hit in 10 years, in Pulp Fiction? And of course, he ended up getting nominated and probably should have won and, you know, resuscitated his career. Then he was doing all kinds of other cool movies like Get Short. He was great as Robert Shapiro on The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah,
he's
amazing. Even that. We talk about that in the interview. You'll hear
that. Right, yeah.
He's very... He has that old Hollywood star quality.
Yes,
he's totally absolutely capable of doing anything. I even heard it in that clip. You know, he's trying to find that moment to portray the spectrum, and you can hear him doing it. You know, and so it's like he's got incredible capability. He just needs the right. He probably needs an historical figure to play.
I could see that.
I mean, Gotti was, but then the Gotti script wasn't particularly great either.
No, it wasn't. There's probably a great movie to be made about that monstrous guy that wasn't it. I keep thinking that he'd be great in playing a heightened version of himself, like Ted Danson on the Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, he's playing Ted Danson, but he's playing a much vainer, you know, Ted Danson who ends up dating Larry's ex-wife and kind of is, you know, like, I think he'd be great as John Travolta. Or even look what Matt LeBlanc did in Episodes. Where he played
so
Matt
comedic
LeBlanc,
rather than this kind
like,
of play this a darker
heightened version of John Travolta, like where he's always dancing and things like that. I think something like that could be fun.
Yeah.
But this is a stay away from the finale. Yeah,
this sounds like a meeting with an agent right there. Right. You know what I think Bubby. We should do here, Bubby, darling, sweetheart? Maybe we could get you a limited HBO series of the being John Travolta. You're doing a lot of dancing like in the mirror.
Possibly.
Do you like that? Maybe. Like, where's the white suit? I remember that.
Bring that out.
I remember that Siskel, he bought the white suit. Is there still the white suit?
It's true. Or de-age him and just put him, bring him back as Tony from Saturday Night Fever and Stranger Things. I don't know. We'll work on it.
Another Grease sequel.
we're not being paid to be his agent. I don't know why. Yeah.
Because it's such goodwill for him as an icon and as a friend.
Right. I do wish him the best because he is amazing. All right, we're going to find out about this Harvey Weinstein doc that everybody is
talking about
on the other side.
Sure.
And we also don't let go. David Oyelowo. It's Oyelowo, right? Oyelowo.
Oyelowo. Mm-hmm. Yes, great actor from Selma.
Yes,
other films
is in this film. It's interesting. This is that weekend. It's the cinematic season isn't starting. That people who like to refer to film as cinema, that starts sort of mid September
after Labor Day weekend.
Right.
Yes, in 2 weeks.
There are horror films. This is what the fall is made of now in American theatrical release.
Yep,
is horror films and movies that are they want to get in, so people start talking about them as potential Oscar contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. and you know, real smart things that people were going to want to go to, you know, because school started again. You know,
right.
that's what we're up for. That's what we're into now. And it seems like we got a couple of the precursors to some of those things that we're going to be looking at here.
We shall see.
All right. So that is coming your way. And as I mentioned, the John Travolta interview at 5:40 this afternoon cool. and the top 5 you won't believe coming up at 5:00. And then News or Ruse. You know, Kev, you can go home. Darren Jackson just confirmed.
Oh, okay. Thanks, CJ. All right.
For News or Ruse.
Great.
I'm off the hook.
Darren Jackson, I could just see with DJ. Oh, you probably walked into the booth at mm-hmm. Guaranteed Rate, mm-hmm. and the producers asked him, would you join those guys and do that at 6:00 tonight? And DJ probably went, oh, that sounds like fun.
Sure.
Wait till we find out how disappointed he's going to be on the other end of that. All right. All that coming your way. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
We have some breaking news in the 2020 presidential race. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is dropping out. We'll bring you the details coming up.
All right. Mr. Rich Roper is here. He's doing the reviewing.
Yeah, not great reviews for John Travolta's new movie, The Fanatic.
But John Travolta will be on the program here at 5:40. In an interview that we taped last week, so we didn't have to deal with this.
A wide-ranging interview, touching on a variety of subjects, not just The Fanatic, including some of other roles he played and a lot of other interesting stuff.
He's a really good guy.
And yeah, some great stories.
Good storyteller.
Found some really interesting, and he's lived an amazing life, too.
Yeah.
Both triumph and tragedy.
Absolutely true.
So, all right, so
let's run through a couple of these real quick. We don't have to play clips from all these, but I just want to let people know about them. Well, you wanted to talk about the Harvey Weinstein documentary, which is an important film to talk about. Let's start with that. That's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3.5 stars, the review for that. I'm giving it...
Untouchable.
What I found fascinating about this was, a lot of us have read and heard the stories for the last 2 or 3 years about Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
They were out there for, you know, a long time before that, but, you know, substantial allegations and criminal charges, etc. What's interesting here is not only do we hear from Rosanna Arquette and others who have, you know, alleged, you know, horrible criminal physical assault and verbal assault and abuse by Harvey Weinstein, we also hear from a lot of former executives and some assistants of his who worked in the company talking about, you know, not only these horrible criminal charges, but just, you know, 20 years of just absolute abuse. Everybody heard the stories about him throwing ashtrays and screaming at people and using the worst possible language. So here, this is a little medley of some of the voices here you won't recognize because a lot of these are either journalists or former associates of Weinstein's.
When I tried to tell people, they say, you better keep your mouth shut. Well, I saw a lot about how the machine works in terms of burying scandals and settlements. Nobody was ever going to win against this guy.
I was hearing stories, which you could dismiss as rumor.
I was being told these women are crazy.
You have to do something.
Yesterday, you touched my priest.
Please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
That was that infamous hotel corridor conversation that was recorded when he was trying to get one of his victims to come back into the hotel room. And, you know, just a classic bully who is just an absolute monster. The movie's called Untouchable. It's a documentary. It traces his origins, too, because a lot of people might not realize he and his brother were music promoters in Buffalo and then became huge, you know, movie producers. And there's no denying the success he had with Miramax. I mean, the run of films from, you know, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, and Clerks, he discovered Kevin Smith, and then, you know, Quentin's movies, all of those were all under the Miramax banner, Shakespeare in Love.
Right, which is the one that really took him over the top.
Yeah.
The Oscar.
Yeah, and Gwyneth was 24 when she won.
And she's one of the people who has famously come forward to say that he was not doing the right thing, and so is Angelina Jolie. There was this parade of celebrities who, big names, A-listers, who
and
really
Gwyneth
had...
And Gwyneth at the time was even before Shakespeare in Love. I think she was 22. And, you know, she said the balance of power there, it's 10 versus 0. But the one cool thing about that story is that she told Brad Pitt, who was then her boyfriend, and he already was a big star in the mid-90s. And he walked up to Harvey the next time he saw him. He goes, if you ever do anything like that again, I'm going to knock your teeth out. He and that was the end. That was the last time. And that's what people say, why'd you keep working with him? She goes, well, you know, that's what happened. And he never bothered me again. So, you know, you can't blame people that continue to work with him, especially if they didn't know all the stories, you know, because a lot of people took a long time to come forward.
Right? Yeah.
And understandably so, because they were
such
the guy ran the town. You know, he was a bully and he would constantly say to people, if you don't go along with me, you'll never work. I'll make sure I'll besmirch your name everywhere, and people won't hire you, and you'll never be in any.
And now
movie.
You've seen evidence of that with Rose McGowan and Ashley Judd. Yeah. There are other producers that came forward that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. He pretty much soiled it for them, telling them they were difficult to work with and don't hire her and things like that. It just. I'm fascinated about this. How much participation does he get? Do they get in this doc from actresses who come forward?
Tons of actresses, including some who are 50 now and never did become famous, telling their stories about, well, you know, I was 23 and I thought I was going to make it, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And then you do hear from very well known people like Mira Sorvino and Rosanna Arquette, and again, some former top executives and some former assistants of his, and some journalists like Ronan Farrow. So 3.5 stars for Untouchable. It's on Hulu. Starting this Sunday, I believe.
All right, you got the time travel thriller with David Oyelowo.
Yeah, no, don't let go. Let go of that one. It's a fascinating premise. David Oyelowo is an L.A. Cop. His brother's wife, and his favorite niece, they're all murdered in a horrific home invasion. And about a week after the murders, he starts getting phone calls from his niece.
Oh.
And he finally figures out that she's 2 weeks in the past, and he's in the present day, and he's got to try to figure out a way to save her. She somehow is 2 weeks behind him on the space-time continuum, which is a fascinating premise that they botch completely in this movie.
Oh. Well, does she see him?
No, that's the thing. If he goes to the house, it's a murder scene. But she'll say, I'm in my bedroom right now. What are you talking about? But then we see
but how do they communicate with each other?
On the phone.
Oh.
And that's one of the problems with this. And it keeps calling. First of all, the roaming charges alone from beyond the grave. I don't even know what plan has that. But, you know, everything. And when it rings, you see, it's Storm Reid plays the niece. I just love her. She was in Wrinkle in Time. She's in Euphoria. She's just one of those young actors who's going to have a 50-year career. She's just absolutely winning. And David Oyelowo's a great actor.
Yeah.
But like from the start, you're like, okay, he keeps getting calls from his dead niece. It's like, why wouldn't you show your call history to some other person? He's an L.A. He's the worst cop ever. He can't figure anything out. I mean, would you just show everybody, look, Ashley's still calling me. Let me put her on speaker.
and they never rectify that. Could be like a whole good M. Night Shyamalan kind of.
And had that.
We figured out. Like in the last scene, they go, oh, and by the way.
Uh-huh. Right. That would have been better.
You know. The time travel movies, there's always going to be a moment where you have to buy into it. You have
right, to, okay, it never makes sense.
Because, yeah, Marty McFly can see Marty McFly's dad, you know, and all that. But, you know, those are fun. This one's not fun. 2 stars.
Okay. All right. And Brittany runs a marathon.
Oh, I like this one. 3 stars for Brittany runs a marathon. Jillian Bell, you might not recognize the name. You probably have seen her in a lot of movies. And she plays a slovenly millennial, 28 years old, 80 pounds overweight. Tries to get her doctor to prescribe Adderall. Instead, he tells her, if you don't lose 80 pounds, you're going to die young. So she decides she's going to get in shape and run a marathon. That's the story of Brittany runs a marathon. But it's really sweet and funny and got great dialogue. So if you're looking for just a fun, comfort, feel-good movie, go see Brittany runs a marathon.
Oh. Well, that was a nice way of bringing it home.
How about
there,
that?
Richard?
Okay.
All right. Well, then coming up at 5:40 p.m., you'll be able to hear maybe 5:38 to be specific, mm-hmm. John Travolta interview that we did with him last week. And if you are a fan of John Travolta or you're curious about John Travolta, you learn things that I think even some fans would not know in this interview.
Yep.
'Cause he goes in places and I had no anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I know, you've done a lot of stuff with him over the years, but I had no anticipation of how he was going to react to people he didn't know. And he's an interesting cat, as they like to say. So that's all coming your way. Don't anybody move. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. We've got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is hot and bothered right now. Kim Gordon's working in it, and she'll have your news right after. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
This is kind of a cool news nugget. Remember the meteor that lit up the Chicago sky a couple years ago? Scientists are searching for it at the bottom of Lake Michigan right now. Isn't that awesome?
With a magnet? With four magnets that are attached to by duct tape to a fishing pole or something. I saw that.
Well, you would think, because, you know, Lake Michigan gets to 900 feet at its deepest part. So it's like you can't necessarily send dive crews down there. Oh. It's
they could have used that to find that alligator. Could have got it in like 1 minute. Remember the alligator?
Listen, Alligator Rob.
He's a stud.
Is a Chicago hero, and I will not have you making fun of him.
He's not a mockery.
We
he spent 24 hours here, and he found a Chicago girl.
He did. And yesterday, we speculated that it was Lauren. Because
we thought it was you, Lauren.
Yes, we did. We thought it was you.
Very mysterioso, that one.
Well, plus, this woman also likes reptiles, and we know that about you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, reptile house, and then some beers at Fatty's Pub down in Orland Park.
Yeah, sightseeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right, sightseeing.
What a power couple.
That's right.
What a power couple. I agree with that. I'm Lauren Lapka hyphen Alligator Rob for WGN.
Rob, Lapka Rob, yes.
Lapka Gator.
That's exactly right.
No, but he
to put that on the back of her Sox jersey. That's going to be a mouthful.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be expensive, too.
We just made
anyway, you're back, so it's not you because he's in
Florida. Well, that's the story she's got anyway.
That's the story, right? That's how that goes. All right, let's do this. We got important. I'm doing transactions over here.
What are you doing?
We've got something going.
I got we got a radio Walk of Famer has just walked in.
Yes,
to hand me some tickets for this evening's White Sox game.
Oh,
just in case.
Are they Hall of Fame style tickets?
They are. Well, this is a Walk of Famer right there. She has the best.
She walked him over.
On the Walk of Fame.
You had the Walk of Famer walk him over to you?
Right. Marlene Wells.
Oh, yeah.
Who will be celebrating in 2 weeks.
Very cool.
Amazing.
For the Walk of Fame.
That's right. She saw me in the hallway, and she's like, hey, you know what? I know you sometimes go to the White Sox game at the last minute. I've got tickets. And then she literally, there was like a whole group of people that were going, and they left without the tickets.
Oops.
And then they were like, she called them like, hey, are you going? And then they go, oh, we're going to do something else. So she literally just handed me a raft of tickets.
Ooh. Wow.
So.
How many tickets you got over there?
I don't know. I'll have to count them.
We'll have to talk.
I'll have to count them during the Travolta interview.
A two for Lauren and Alligator Jim.
Right, Alligator Rob. You're going to have to teach him about the White Sox tradition, the lore.
Wait till he sees how she acts at games, though.
Oh, he's already a big fan of McCann.
See, look
at
that.
He's probably throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Oh, man. Probably true. All right. Listen, we have got things we have got to do here, and this is the most important thing.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Oh, boy. Checking in at
number five.
And then there were 20. Kristen Gillibrand, New York State Senator, or New York Senator, U.S. Senator from New York. Hmm. Has just officially dropped out of the race for the presidency.
I know this isn't the result we wanted. We wanted to win this race. But it's important to know when it's not your time and to know how you can best serve your community and country. I believe I can best serve by helping to unite us to beat Donald Trump in 2020. Our work is not done, and we have a clear mission in front of us. We have to defeat President Trump, flip the Senate, and elect women up and down the ballot. I can't wait to keep speaking out, marching, and fighting.
Okay. All right. We got it. You left.
We had a good run.
What? I kept waiting for a second. Would you turn that music down?
Kind of like the end of every John Hughes movie in the 80s, you know?
Right.
The Dream Academy on the soundtrack. I'm going to marry him.
That's the damn thing. And the music just kept going up. Even the guy producing the video was like, all right, we
don't want to hear
this.
There's too much. We don't want to hear that.
Oh, my God. It's too bad.
He was playing her off like the Oscars. We got to go. We got to go.
My agent.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were not. You know what? Okay, fine. You know, you were. She's. I thought she was going to have a shot.
I did too. At one point early on.
You notice all the moderates are out.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows what the hell they're doing is out.
Uh-oh.
You got Joe Biden, who's a moderate, but he no longer knows what he's doing.
No. Doesn't know what year it is.
Right.
Where he is.
You've
on
got.
Most days.
You got Elizabeth Warren, who now seems like the most sane of all the Democrats who is running, because at least she can complete a sentence. She has just a thought that she can take from the beginning to the end of the thought.
Mm-hmm.
She has that, which I think is very lovely.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good quality to have when you want to be president of the United States of America.
I believe that's correct. But you know, she has some history of political philosophy that I think is going to be a little harder to sell. But then again, you got a guy who's trying to sell us a timeshare at Doral.
Beautiful bungalows.
And the attorney general just had to pay him $30,000. He had to pay the president $30,000 for a party he's going to throw for Christmas. It's like everything that you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And he's mad at Fox News Channel for no longer being
Didn't work for us anymore.
On his side. We need a new news network. He did tweet earlier today.
Yeah. Let's make them feel good.
So,
well, Kamala Harris, Andrew Yang, and Tulsi Gabbard are all jumping on to Senator Gillibrand to tell him how proud of her they are.
Okay.
And they want her 0.2% that she's polling.
Exactly. All 15 voters are moving to Andrew Yang. Do you see that Andrew Yang actually had a little bit of a resurgence?
Oh,
Andrew
good.
Yang is now like, you know,
Yang Gang.
If you go from the top, you got your, you know, your Biden. Mm-hmm. Just, if you aggregate all these polls, okay. You got your Biden, Warren,
Bernie
mm-hmm. is there right mm-hmm. right with neck and neck with Warren,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then Mayor Pete Buttigieg,
mm-hmm.
right? He's
sort of there, yeah.
And then you got Kamala Harris,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who fluctuates either side of Buttigieg. And then right below that, you got Cory
Booker
and Yang now, which I think is kind of weird. I just don't understand what goes on there. But we've had him on. He's just as unelectable as anybody else in this show.
Right. I can get, he's like, I can get 38% of the vote.
Isn't he one of those universal income guys?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very popular.
See, now, right, so, like Gillibrand, who was a real, you know, senator and had real thoughts.
Yeah.
Klobuchar is going to be the next step to do this. She thinks she's going to be picking up on this. She won't be.
No.
All the moderates, all the people who had any kind of portfolio are out.
Mm.
I mean, Elon Musk should just be running right now.
Al Gore. I think Al Gore would do good.
That's right. I'm not in it yet, but I could get right back in the thing right now because the Earth has a fever. I just got back from the Amazon where I was putting out a fire.
18% right there. Just by with the losers.
I have lost all that weight that I gained after 2000.
Oh, yes. Has he slimmed down?
Very much so.
Mm.
But I still do wear a muumuu on the weekend.
Mm.
Which is
Gore Kerry. How about Gore Kerry? And then they could put like Jimmy Carter in the cabinet because he makes actual cabinets.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter could jump in here.
I can't jump anymore.
Maybe not jump. He can walk slowly.
One of those bathtubs with the door.
Here is my opportunity. You know who's sitting out. You know what? I could come back. I could try to get. And I know technically you're not supposed to do it, but it's over two different centuries. So I think there's a law, and there are no rules anymore. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Checking in at
number four.
Lori Lightfoot says that the budget deficit facing the city is the largest in recent memory. Well, it's the largest ever, actually. Never had a number like this before. I like to say it like the president says it. Never seen a number like this before. Biggest number, biggest crowd deficit in the history of crowd deficits. And she's going to do this thing tomorrow night in a televised State of the City address, which you can hear right here on WGN Radio
at
6 p.m. And then we're going to have the thoughts of what she said. It's about 20 minutes, and then we'll talk about it. Now, the speech is going to focus on what she is calling the painful reality of this massive budget deficit and how are we going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
She sat down with Fox Chicago's Sylvia Perez to talk about the variety of options, like a hiring freeze.
I am not, and we're never going to do anything to compromise safety. We're at about 13,000 sworn positions, which is the highest headcount that we've had in about 15 years. So I feel good about where we are, but we'll be carefully calibrating it, and if we need to make any adjustments, we will. But what I'm challenging the police department to do is tell me how you can live within these means, make sure that we've got the right resources in the right places to respond to the needs of residents in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways to make money Crane's had today, selling Lake Michigan water to places like Joliet. In advanced discussions with Joliet to
I get the money
the
up
water.
Front. If I'm going to Joliet, I was in Joliet over the weekend. Get the money up front. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Selling
when
water.
When I was in Joliet over the weekend, I go, you know, like I used to do for the federal, I go to the prison down there, mm-hmm. and I just do weekends down there for time served.
Oh,
well, just because I know I'm going to do something eventually.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. How about bottling Lake Michigan water and selling it to the Europeans and claiming it's better than anything else?
Yeah like Evian.
Right.
Come up with a fun name for it.
Yeah. Michigan.
Yeah, you put some oxen's agues and things in there.
Right. Goose, right. Okay. There is a lot of goose in the lake, actually, that you can put in there.
That's free. Yeah. You can have that for free.
Now, what about property taxes?
I've been very upfront about the fact that we have taken a lot of measures to make sure that we are building efficiencies in the way that we're operating. But even with those measures, we're still looking at a sizable deficit for next year. So it's going to be really important that we continue to dig down deep. We put a survey out asking for residents to provide us with ideas. But there's no question that we're going to have to look to additional revenue sources, particularly when we think about the mandatory pension payment that we have to make next year.
Okay. I want to start. Let's get that Kristen Gillibrand music and play it behind her and start playing her off.
That's a
the
good
answers
idea.
Are too long.
Too long?
Yes. Just tell us. Are you raising property taxes?
She's going to
tell
you tomorrow in a primetime address, which we'll be covering here on WGN Radio.
Okay. And is she worried about the Chicago Exodus? I heard somebody else say this when it worked before. Chicago Exodus, where people are leaving the city because of the taxes.
Of course I am. I mean, we have to be a city of growth, not exodus. So everything that we are doing is focused on what we can do to grow our economy, to get the people who are here to feel like Chicago can be their home because it's safe, because it's affordable, because we have good schools, that we have the right kind of business climate, and that we are looking to the neighborhoods to strengthen them and make them vibrant.
There you go. Okay. All right. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Yes, we will be here. We have to be here.
We have to be here anyway. We're assigned to listen to this.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Chicago-based McDonald's addressing sexual harassment among employees. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
All right, Top 5-5 continues on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Here we go.
Number 3.
Judge Mathis lost his cool. Out to dinner. He was at Flood's Bar and Grill in Detroit. He allegedly got into a bit of an altercation with one of the valets. Pert claims and when the judge finished his dinner, he went out to get his car, a Rolls Royce.
Oh, life's good.
That TV judge money, pretty good. However, one of the valets had taken the TV judge's keys in his pocket while he was out retrieving another customer's car. Uh-oh. So that's when the situation escalated. Restaurant worker tried to explain that the other car was parked far away, and Mathis then reportedly spit on the valet before driving off. Then he had to explain to TMZ what happened according to him.
First of all, it was a 40-minute wait, and when he came, yes, I yelled at him and asked why would he take my car for 40 minutes or the keys to my car, and he began to apologize, and then he said something I think of, I went to the store, or something that was more ridiculous than the apology, and so we had a little verbal back and forth, and that was the extent of it. It was no spitting. You know, there were 6 witnesses there. I don't know whether this is a money grab, which I suspect it is. I shouldn't have went back and forth yelling, but of course anyone waiting 40 minutes and then the guy comes up and says that he had the keys in his pocket instead of leaving it with the other staff is fine.
Yeah, well, it's a Rolls Royce. I think that's. I think they would figure that out.
Wouldn't it be good now if he goes on Judge Judy to make his case?
Yeah, I like the way he said. First of all, isn't that how most of their judge stories turn out in the courtroom of Judge
Mathis?
First of all, Judge.
Yeah. Get it together.
Second.
Judge Judy yelling at him.
You shouldn't be dating your tenant anyway. Maybe you get your rent on time. There's a lot of those. It seems
I love TMZ.
That's right. We're moving on. Judge recessed.
Wait, did you want to finish that thought?
TMZ said he hocked loogie in valet's face.
Oh, gosh.
So I thought that was pretty graphic.
Oh, golly. Oh, man.
Was it a 2019 loogie? Those were very expensive.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Oh, God. All right, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is getting a closer look at the new trailer released this afternoon. Todd Phillips directs the 1981 set film that centers on Arthur Fleck, a clown who dreams of becoming a stand-up comedian. Is that really the origin story?
It is this time.
Oh, our comic book geeks are telling me that that is in fact the case.
Lawrence Stunt.
Is that?
I don't have every super background.
Oh, all right then.
Maybe
finally,
Alligator Fine. Jones.
Way to let us down. I admittedly did not know that about the Joker.
Arthur Fleck.
All right, so I'm being told by Brian that that is in fact the case.
Okay.
The film was drawn comparisons to King of Comedy, the Scorsese film from 1982, which starred Robert De Niro as an aspiring stand-up who, well, he did, goes a little off the rails, if you will, decides to go in a different direction as a comic, more of a kidnapper than a comic. But the trailer also hints that maybe Joaquin Phoenix dips further into the mental illness and insanity of said Joker.
Arthur, I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
Well, boy. Okay.
I'm creeped out.
Done.
I'm very creeped out by that.
Oscar buzz for Joaquin on this one.
I'll bet. Yeah. He's great.
He's a great actor.
Great.
I mean, Heath Ledger won supporting actor posthumously for The Dark Knight. But that one, he was already the Joker in the movie. You know, when we first time we saw him, he had already become the Joker.
Yeah. Right.
And Jack Nicholson, you know, he just fell in a big giant vat of overacting for the one he did. Remember?
Right,
you know,
right.
And over makeup.
He's a great actor, but that was not a great Joker.
Too know, much so. Lipstick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. They decided. was that Tim Burton? Not Tim Burton. Was it Tim Burton who directed that series of films?
Yeah, yeah.
That was before Chris Nolan,
Michael Keaton, Batman.
Yeah. So Tim Burton was like, more.
Yeah.
Do it more.
Those are interesting looking, but they don't hold up all that well. Those early Batman films.
They're creepy. They really do feel like 1990.
Yeah, very much so. And then Clooney showed up. That didn't help with Robin.
Number one. Okay, so the NFL kicking off the 100th season. So NBC, you know, they're going to have the big game next Thursday, week from tomorrow, right?
Yes,
Bears, Packers, 100th anniversary, blah, 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 blah.
Huge.
Big deal.
Really?
Bears are going to win, but they need to have a promo to promote the season. They want to get everybody excited.
Good.
So you got Al Michaels, right?
Makes sense.
The great Al Michaels and Betty White.
You know, that's the thing about kicking off the NFL's 100th season. I don't think there's anybody out there who can possibly put that into words.
I can.
Betty Weish?
B-Dog's talking now. 100 years of NFL history. The Packers and the Bears. There's only one thing more badass than this year's kickoff. And you're looking at her.
I love her.
I do, too. Love Betty White.
She was
Park,
at the
Illinois.
First game.
Well, you know.
So there was
She's
that. That
97.
Was
yeah, I mean, the NFL's only 3 years older than Betty. Think about that.
And is she a Bears fan? Do we know this about her? Because she's from here, Oak Park, but I don't know if.
I think in the first 5 years of the franchise, they weren't drawing a hole. They weren't. Okay. Which, you know.
She's been a lot around since then. I mean, you have like the Ashton Kutchers of the world who still wear the Bears hats and go to the Bears games. Occasionally, when they go to the Super Bowl.
Remember that, Richard? Remember when we met Ashton Kutcher at the Bears game?
The exact opposite of the John Travolta experience.
Yeah, I can picture that. What Get out they, of my way.
That was Ashton Kutcher, not a fan of Richard Roper's, I would say.
Certainly not.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't know what you did to him in the the movie. There were 15 movies with the exact same plot where two best friends decided they're going to become lovers.
Always like, just my luck. Of all the things.
I had no idea.
It could happen to me.
She was standing right in front of me.
All along,
apparently,
that was a bad time for movies.
Apparently the review of that was something that stuck.
He didn't like it.
Yeah. With Ashton Kutcher, and he, well, let it be known. So, that was quite a moment.
Those shrimp aren't for you in that skybox. Slapping my hand, basically.
All right, let's close this thing up, and then we got to do the news here, don't we? Yeah. Yes, we do. That's right. There we go.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Stepping into the studio, a man who needs no introduction, John Travolta is with us. He's got a new film out, Richard Roper. Explain exactly what it is.
The movie is called The Fanatic, and John Travolta plays Moose, who is a super fan, who has an encyclopedic knowledge of movies and loves film and likes to collect things from the movie world, kind of almost lives in his own movie world. And his number one all-time favorite, bestest hero of the movies is an action star named Hunter Dunbar. And Moose is finally going to get his chance to meet his idol, maybe even get an autograph on a special piece of memorabilia. Question is, what happens after Moose and Hunter cross paths more than once and things don't go exactly maybe how Moose one day envisioned? John Travolta is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for that intro. That was fantastic.
So does it go well for Moose? Do they get along great and they look happy?
Oh, man, that's
after?
A loaded question. you know, the simplicity of it is that this character, well, he's a man-child, for one, and he's a bit on the spectrum. So he doesn't clock his behavior very much. Mm-hmm. And so when he crosses over the line of privacy, let's call it, he's not aware of it. But to be fair, neither is the movie star. The movie star is not aware of Moose's lack of awareness. And he kind of tends to mistreat him every time my character goes over the line. So they're kind of two wrongs don't make a right in this situation. But man, do we take you on a trip telling you that story. And I've been so thrilled with the reaction to this movie, a pet project of mine. So exciting.
It's interesting for the times, too, right? Because, you know, we're living now in a media environment, in a celebrity environment because of social media and all the other things that are going on. And also our awareness of the spectrum. We're using a term to describe this movie that 20 years ago, people go, what are you talking about?
So I think it's very important to understand. And in this character, he's got such he's not a professional fan. He's a real fan. Mm-hmm. And he says that many times and reminds everyone he's not a stalker. He's a real fan. He doesn't sell his memorabilia. He collects it and will go to the grave with it. And so the movie star doesn't register this at all. He doesn't register the authenticity of this fan. And therefore mistreats him. And, you know, several times he could have called the police and said, look, there's a guy here that's crossing the line, but he doesn't. He wants to do it the macho way and just tell him what for, you know, that kind of thing.
You've been a legit movie star for decades, and you've no doubt had a fan or two who's crossed the line.
I apologize to him for that already.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, he's known to do that, but we still love it because he's got a good heart. But I mean, you've got
a column.
And a column, too, so you got to be nice. But I think it just now, to Ro's point, there is so much access to information. There is so much available. You can Google people's houses. You can geolocate them at any point. You can pay people for information. I mean, you go online and you can get it on normal people, but celebrities, there are more people after that information.
Correct.
I imagine it would, and yet in some ways you're inviting it as a celebrity. You're inviting some attention. You just have to be mindful of what crosses the line. It just must seem so creepy for you to get inside the brain of the other side in some ways.
Well, I feel very informed about both sides because I am a fan, too. Meaning I grew up admiring Jimmy Cagney and Paul McCartney and you name it, and I was obsessed with them. And I understand that obsession. So I'm not coming from a place that doesn't have a great compassion for that viewpoint. Remember the ad for Saturday Fever when it came out, where do you go when the record's over? It's like, you know, where do you go when you can't get the autograph? What do you do? Yeah. You know, it's an interesting way to navigate through life, both being on the film side of the film actor side of it and the fan side of it.
Well, you mentioned Jimmy Cagney. It's fascinating because Jimmy Cagney was probably in the modern memory now, he was the gangster. But really, he was the best song and dance man of his era.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
In Hollywood. And it seems to me that that's kind of how you came into this as well. In your arc, it was you really wanted to show the audience how you moved.
That's true. I think Jimmy and Cagney and I have a nice parallel in that because first we're actors, but then people discovered that, ooh, you can actually sing and dance. You know, it became a bonus. Mm-hmm. Of course, in New York, you had to do all three to survive. Otherwise, you didn't work.
But that's the thing, John. I think you and I have talked about this. You've had a character actor's mentality in a leading man's career.
100%.
And, you know, no criticisms of guys like your old Pulp Fiction friend, you know, Bruce Willis. You know, John McClane is this amazing, iconic character. But you could have played that, you know, hero cop in 10 movies or on TV for 15 years. And instead, you played an awful lot of villains and a lot of character roles.
You know, it's funny because it's my comfort zone. where other people might be out of their comfort zone. I'm not comfortable unless I'm playing something that someone would view as uncomfortable. I think because of my theatrical family is that we grew up building characters and we only admired each other if we pulled it off. Do you know whether it was an imitation or if it was a scene from a play or a movie? How well did you do it was what mattered, not showing up and being cute or something.
It's an interesting thing because there are people who go into the art form to be famous, and then there's people who go into it for the art form. Correct. Clearly, the people who have the longer trajectories, as you have had, and have interesting projects, go into it for the art. And so in this particular, you mentioned this particular movie is a passion project. What was it that caught you?
With
Fred Durst, by the way, we should mention, is the director.
Writer and director writer of this film. Yeah. Yeah.
Firstly, the great directors always have a vision. And Fred had a vision. And I agreed with that vision. He also wrote a character that I could think with and couldn't wait to play. Often in one's career, you have characters in your back pocket. When I played Clinton, when I played Edna on Hairspray, when the O.J. character of
Shapiro.
You're amazing at that, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
He loved doing that, too, I can tell
that
you.
I know he did. I don't want to stop your train of thought, but I got to say that I covered that trial, and I got to know him, and you caught him. That's that particular miniseries, the acting could not have been better from stem to stern to create those characters because they were dead on, and you caught the inner angst and turmoil of Robert Shapiro right before LegalZoom.
Well, I was telling Richard that I asked the director if I had permission to really be him, or do I have to just be some sort of personality? Because if I just had to be, you know, show up and be who,
caricature or something,
or just be me, I didn't want to. I said, but if you allow me to really go for it, I would do it.
Do you think it's better to be the creepy character because that's the one that creates the most amount of tension, the most amount of attention?
I think it's always best to be something that's well written, and really it goes down to that. Writing will always lure me in before anything. You know, when I did a civil action, Stephen
Zalian, right?
Zalian is such a brilliant writer. I was exhausted one day, and he had this 5-page speech for me to do as a voiceover. I said, "Oh, come on, Steve! Really, we've worked 15 hours." I'm excited. When I read it, I could not wait to do it. I said, let's do it right now. I got to say these words now. So the point is that when something's on the paper and you love it, you immediately get excited and you want to portray it right away. And that's how I felt when I read The Fanatic. I couldn't wait to play Moose because I felt like I understood him. Mm-hmm. And I also understood the film star, but I've never had the angst. Look, that film star in The Fanatic is a good person, but he's a bad celebrity. And I've always felt pride in being a pretty good celebrity, meaning I've respected people, I've been well-mannered with them and kept my good feelings about them and all that. He does not. So wasn't really attracted to playing that. But Moose, I said, someone's got to define fanism in an authentic way. Someone's got to get out there and like really get behind the passion that a fan has when it's authentic. I don't mean if it's other intended.
Because it would be easy to have that role as, or play that role, or write that role as someone who you don't like. You just hate someone who's pure evil, who's after something ugly, dangerous, trying to get at that celebrity. But it sounds as if, from the way you're describing it, that they're multi-layered here. You may actually feel for this guy.
You do.
And try to understand him and just sort of think that there's a reason behind what he's doing, too.
Yes, and some of it is hilarious. I mean, he sneaks into this guy's house. He knows that the guy is taking a sleeping pill, so he has the freedom to take selfies with him, kiss him, you know, cuddle with him. No. I mean, you know, you go, I didn't see that. For real?
Annie Wilkes from Misery would be a little creeped out watching some of these things. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. Well, you know, you mentioned something that's interesting is that there are professional fans. You know, like when you walk out of a building, right, somebody knows where you're going to be. There are people out there who have headshots and other things, and they want you to sign them so they can go sell them.
Correct.
Right? And there's a whole industry to that. And some of those people are really aggressive and, you know, inappropriate.
Yes. And that first, Moose, the character, looks like that. But the film star doesn't realize he's not that. He's really the real deal. And that's part of the problem. He's not clocking any of the spectrum behavior, and he's not clocking the authenticity of his intentions.
I want to ask very quickly, too, though. Moose rocks a mullet in this movie. John, with my keen powers of observation, I have noticed that you looked a little different from the last time I saw you.
With a full head of hair.
Yes. Yeah. So is this what we're going to see from now on, or is it going to depend on the characters?
Well,
or?
It will always depend on the character in a movie. But in my real life, you will see a shaved head because hell of a bunch easy.
Yeah.
You know,
you just roll out of bed. There's no having to do anything.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But for characters, you always have to wait to see what the character will ask for itself to look like. Mm. Do you know? And in this case, it was a mullet.
You have been such an amazing and iconic actor figure in American cinema and American culture for 40 years. But the thing I admire most about you is that you got a pilot's license and you flew that 707 and you kept it in your backyard. I think that is just the coolest thing ever. You just had to retire it, right? Didn't that aircraft
retire? Yeah, I just donated it to an Australian museum where it had its life as a Qantas airliner, yes.
Yeah. Well, right, originally.
Originally,
and then
yes,
you put it in the Pan Am livery or something?
I did for a while. Yeah. I was confused. I was so excited about having an airliner. I said, I don't know what airline to choose. Then finally I made a deal with Qantas, and they painted it for me their colors. You know?
After every flight, did you have to, fix after every flight?
No. Listen, let me tell you something about industrial airplanes. They don't break. They're 99.9% dependable. And I found that was the 707. There's parts everywhere in the world for them. So you don't ever run into the situation where it's not feasible to get it fixed or quickly repaired.
If I could find the producers to put Airport back up, which character would you want to play?
Oh, man, that's good. That's one of my favorite movies, Airport. I mean, it's actually underestimated in the overall.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's kind of started the disaster films.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it would boil down to, what do you play, the Dean Martin role or the Burt Lancaster role? Or do you play a George Kennedy where you get to say, well, I don't care, but she's going to get it one way or another.
You know? I think if we're going back to our earlier conversation about choosing the one tense role, I think it's Petroni. They don't call him emergencies.
Hey, didn't he get the Oscar for it or something?
A nomination, I think.
Yes, yeah, nominated. Yeah. And someone won. I think it was Helen Hayes won.
Yes, for supporting actress.
But who was the best one in it was...
Those are all stage actors. So you had Van Heflin.
Van Heflin
played the guy, the bomber.
That performance would hold up any day, any time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That performance. Okay.
And Maureen Stapleton.
Maureen
was
the wife.
That's
right. Killed it as his wife.
Brilliant.
Right.
John, I just want to ask you, too, before we let you go. First of all, I want to let people know The Fanatic will be playing in theaters in the Chicago area this Friday. Check it out, please. And we talked about so many, icons. You had the pleasure, of course, of working with Peter Fonda on Wild Hogs.
I did.
Can you just share a little memory you have of Peter?
Thank you for asking that, because I loved Peter. And I don't think everyone on the set realized the magnitude of who we had. And I said to the guys, I said, guys, this is such a big deal. I said, I'm a little older than a couple of those guys, but I thought, weren't you around when Easy Rider came out? I said, I was like 14, man. It rocked. It ruled.
Changed the culture.
It changed the culture. So I sat with him for hours in the corner of one of the sets and just rocked out on hearing stories. And my favorite story he told me was that when he was 16 years old, he was on a plane, a propeller airliner, going from New York to London. And guess who was on board? Monty Clift, Marlon Brando, it's Henry Fonda, his dad, him. Imagine. And they're all in this big, giant, lumbering airliner going over to London. And he had to ask permission. I gather it was a strict upbringing. He said, Dad, could I go downstairs to the lounge? In those days, in the early days of airliners, the lounge was in the basement of the plane. It was like a bar. It was a cocktail.
Yeah. Like,
so it's spiral staircase downstairs as opposed to 747 upstairs. So he got permission to leave Dad sitting next to Dad and go down to the bar where the guys were hanging, Clift and Brando. And I said, what was that like for you as a Brando and Cliff are at the peak of their game? And they're in this plane, and hobnobbing and chatting. And he was filled with wonderful stories. I spent like 3 hours with him talking about sailing. He went from Hawaii down to Australia. He sailed all over the world. He was like an expert sailor. And he was still enthusiastic about it. He knew who he was. He knew the life he had. And he wasn't wasting it on anything. And I really love that because so many people have special lives, but they're not clocking that it's a special life. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
No.
And great you point. Wonder sometimes, you know, did Jackie Kennedy really know what kind of life she had when she did this or did that? You know, you lose your situational awareness, you know, when sometimes. And he really didn't, you know, he really was quite sharp about
nice.
What his memories were and how much he appreciated. He knew when he was making history.
Right. That's true. We'll leave it there. Awesome. John Travolta, it's such an honor, such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, and thank John. You all
thank
for
you.
Your support.
And congratulations on the Fanatic opening up this weekend.
Beautiful.
Theater near you.
Thank you.
Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
The Chicago Teachers Union and the Board of Education not only at odds over a contract, now it's the city's budget. We'll bring you the details coming up.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Let's find out what we're playing for today.
Okay.
A $75 Green Tea Home Services gift certificate.
Nice.
All your home service needs, garage door maintenance, air duct purification, carpet cleaning, call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. Who doesn't need their garage door
I was going to say, who doesn't need their carpets cleaned, okay? I was just thinking I need that, and then you said it.
There you go. And everybody gets a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And look who our celebrity guest is today. It's the one and only DJ Darren Jackson,
yes.
Your Chicago White Sox broadcaster. 11 seasons in the radio booth, 20 seasons as a broadcaster. Darren, thank you so much for being with
us.
Thank you. Yeah, keep going. I was enjoying the build-up. Wow. Why'd you stop? I mean, I don't need to even become involved.
Hey,
thank you guys.
One of our favorites, too, Connor Murphy, the Blackhawk player, throwing out the first pitch tonight at the White Sox.
Oh, look at that.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that as well. He's going to be up here in the booth with us in the second inning tonight as well, so stay tuned in.
He's our guy.
I like that.
Lauren, it drives Lauren nuts when I say that. You know, like, I was like Andrew, like anybody that is, like, playing well, I go, that's my guy
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, according to you, half the White Sox team is yours. I know. That's true. He does say
Jose
that.
Jose Abreu is my guy.
No!
Oh, boy.
All right, anyway. Sorry, DJ. You know, sorry, DJ. Right, exactly. All right. Well, I may come up and see you in the booth tonight, too. I don't.
All right.
You know, I'll just. I like
policy.
To. I like to stand. Right, I know. I like to stand back there and then have Ed Farmer look at me and go, why is he here? That's my favorite part of the day. All right. Let's see here. Let's see who we have playing. This is the best part of the day. Stan is playing with Kim, Ron is playing with Lauren, and Deborah is playing with Darren Jackson.
All right, I can't wait.
All right, here we go. You know the rules of the game, DJ, they tell you?
I heard rumors, yes.
There are no rules. All right, here we go.
Still want to play?
Stan and Kim, here's your headline. Man's pickup truck stolen while he allegedly robbed store across street.
Oh, Stan, I believe that one, don't you? I think
it's news. I definitely do.
All right. That's right.
Way to call it out. Good job. All right, Ron and Lauren, here is your headline. It's safer than store-bought, asserts Florida dentist accused of reselling used floss.
Ew.
Oh, man.
I believe it, though.
Yeah, it's Florida. Yeah, it's true.
All right, yeah, news. The Florida part always gets them.
Yeah, you gotta look out for those. Right, see, now DJ just got nervous about this. All right, Deborah and DJ, here's your headline. South Carolina Dairy Queen burgers are not made with human meat, coroner confirms.
Oh.
Ew.
Deborah, I'm going to have to say that can't be true. Come on. What do you think?
I agree.
All right. There we go.
They had a coroner confirm that.
Okay.
They did. Oh, ooh. Yeah. Gosh, gross. All right, Stan and Kim, here's your headline. two men who lied about military service must wear sign that says, I am a liar, judge rules.
I wish it was true, but I'm going to ask a little bit of help from Kim.
I'm going to think it's true because, you know, I've seen that before. Let's go news.
Wow, look at that. Uh-oh. Kind of a commanding lead. Somebody here is going to get one right to stay in this game. Here we go. Ron and Lauren. Red Bull to pay Canadians who did not receive wings after drinking it.
I don't see how that's possible.
No, that's not possible.
Ruse?
Ruse.
DJ, you get, you know, DJ's like, I got so many things I got to get to before the game starts tonight. And so now he's like, I got to win this. If we have to go into overtime, we have to do this show totally on their own. All right, here we go.
Deborah and DJ, passengers. Right, DJ. Here it is. Passengers stranded when Thomas the Tank Engine malfunctions.
Deborah, is it true?
I would have to say news.
DJ?
She said yes. I'm going with her.
All right, there you go.
Got it.
You're still alive.
You're redemption.
Yay! Yes. All right. Hold on. Hold on. We're going to get to the Orion Samuelson round, and we've got Stan and Kim commanding lead of two right. We got Deborah and DJ, I should say, but she hates being called Deb. Do you hate being called Deb? That's what I thought. They have one right, so we'll come back to them first on the other side. But first, Kim, what's going on?
Ro, two more suburban plants being sued for sending cancer-causing chemicals into the air. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. It's a pitch battle here. Deborah is playing along with Darren Jackson, DJ.
Yes.
White Sox broadcaster, who is at the park right now as we're getting ready for a big game against the AL Central rival Minnesota Twins tonight. Pretty great baseball team. But, you know, the Sox are in ascendancy. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I don't want to get you off your game, DJ. You need to be able, you need to get this right to stay in it along with your contestant, Deborah. Here you go. Orion Samuelson will read you the headline.
Architect goes blind. Says he's actually gotten better at his job.
Could you please repeat that?
Architect goes blind. Says he's actually gotten better at his job.
Oh, boy.
News. What do you think, Aaron?
I don't know how that could be. You got to see what you're building, I would think. But, you know, what do I know about architecture other than I love it? I'm going with whatever you request, Deborah.
No, that's what your request.
Oh, your for God's sake, I cannot have
right.
it like this.
I'm going to say that it's true.
And you'd be right. You're still alive. Look at that.
I knew
cool.
it all.
I said it first, though, remember?
Yeah. Right. You went to 3-2 right there, and he was like, yep, I got on safely.
I know.
All right, here we go. This could be the winner, though. This could be it. Here we go. Stan and Kim, here's your headline.
Spanish driver fakes kidnapping to cover up for spending his earnings at a sex club.
100% true, guaranteed.
Let's go true, then.
Wow!
Oh, that was too easy.
Oh,
thank you.
Stan wins.
I do like how when it was 100. Did you know that? Did you see that story?
No, I just know how these crooks operate.
All right, got it. Okay.
Hey, by the way, anything Orion says, we know it's true anyway. That's not right.
I know.
He's such a trustworthy
That's
person.
True. That's true. Although he does have a few of these things that that go a little little sideways. Hey, DJ, before we let you go, because, you know, we're heading here to September 1st, right? We're just about to make the turn.
Yes.
Do you think... What are your thoughts? No. Okay. Thanks very much. We'll see you. Do you think Luis Robert's going to come up?
B. I
Ruse.
They're a team that is on the verge of making the postseason down in the minor leagues. So I know he's going to be sticking around for the postseason there. So if I were to true or false this one, I'd say B. I don't know.
Okay. And then Nick Madrigal, same situation, right? I mean, they got a lot going on down there.
My name is going to be B because I don't know.
All right.
There's, don't share that stuff with me.
I know, but I just, you know, you've been around the game a long time. Just your gut feeling, because I know that there's a sense people really want to see these guys up here, and it does appear that though the Sox have had some really great runs, and they're having another great run right now. It's damn near impossible for them to make the playoffs. So this is a moment though where people really are going just to see this team in ascendancy, and you know, hoping that there's a lot of dreams about next year, and they really mean it now.
Yeah, and you know what? We all are looking forward to the opportunity to San Luis and Nick Madrigal see these guys get to the big leagues, but from the moves that they've made from A-ball all the way up through AAA for them to make it to the major leagues this year at the completion of a full season, you're kind of pushing it. I mean, it's the first full year for both of those guys to be healthy and go through this. So, you know, my speculation is B.
Okay.
Hey, well, DJ, Lucas Giolito, 203 strikeouts on the year. First righty Sox pitcher to get to the 200 mark in 11 years. Just such a turnaround season for him. He's put himself into at least the Cy Young conversation. But remember, last year he led baseball, he had the worst ERA in baseball, and now this is where he's at. What have you seen from him?
I see a guy that went and reinvented himself on his own. I mean, I can't even really speculate how amazing that is. You go home, you say, I'm not going to be that guy. You work on stuff during the offseason, and you become an all-star the next year, from the highest earned run average of any starting pitcher to that. It's unheard of. It's never happened before. So, I mean, all I can do is look at Giolito and go, are you kidding me? I mean, he set a standard now that anybody that makes excuses that they can't get better and can't improve, guess what? He's the guy you look at and go, no, look at that guy. It can happen. Just follow what he did. But it also tells you that he's a lot mentally tougher than most people, too. So you can't expect the same results from everyone.
This is going to be the offseason here. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, because we've still got a month left of baseball. But the offseason is going to be a really interesting one. I think it's going to be the sort of offseason that the Bears have had. There's so much speculation. People are going to be so excited about spring training. People are going to want to see these guys. It'll definitely be up. You know, I would imagine they'll be making the team, at least if they don't make the team right at opening day. For whatever those contractual circumstances are, I think that it's going to be a very exciting spring on the south side of the city of Chicago next year. So.
You are not kidding. This is something for us all to be excited about, because the youth movement is here. We're seeing the growth. You look at the difference between Tim Anderson's season of last season to this year. Same thing with Yoan Moncada. The consistency of guys like Yolmer Sanchez, Jose Abreu's back on top and healthy. I mean, this is a lot of good stuff to look forward to with the new addition of the young kids coming up from the minor leagues in the near future.
Yeah. Remember, the Sox had the same approach with Eloy last year, where everyone was wondering, is he going to get called up? And then all of a sudden in spring training, he didn't get called up. And then in spring training, they said, let's just lock this guy up. That's how big they were. That's how high they were on him. Who knows? Maybe that's in the future for Luis Robert next spring.
I'm not going to say you're wrong about that. I agree with you. I mean, I think it's pretty imminent that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of, is it this year, or are we going to go into next year and know that he's going to be here then?
Yeah, I will say that Eloy Jimenez is going to have a breakout year next year too. He's had a very good season so far, but obviously got dinged up a couple of times, and you know, you wonder if I think we talked about this earlier in the season, that a lot of these guys who played in Cuba, this season is long, right? I mean, this is a these kids grew up not playing this much baseball, and so they're getting used to what a major league schedule is like, with the travel and with the number of games and day games and the night games, and especially some of the Caribbean players that are playing in the cold for the first time. And you need a season to get adjusted to it and then learn your own rhythm. You saw that with Yoan Moncada, right? I mean, he grew up as a baseball player. We just saw that in spring training.
No, you're right. I mean, all those conditions do factor into these guys becoming successful big leaguers. But, look, that happens to kids that are born here in the States as well. They've never played all the way into a September baseball season coming up from the minor leagues. So it's always about the growth and experience and getting used to how you deal with it physically, mentally. You know, I had to go through it. Ed Farmer, anybody that had never played in a September at a competitive level, major leagues, when the first time you go through it, you experience a lot of new things. But from there, you learn, and it's no longer an excuse to not be successful. So I think it just is about putting the time in, getting the experience, because you can't replace it. Experience is the one thing that no matter what anybody says, you're not going to be able to replace it. You got to get these guys here for them to experience it, and then you say, all right, they're ready to play, as you just mentioned. You get that with Moncada. We get it from any of these young players that you saw fail, and now they're being successful.
Yeah. All right, TJ, call a good game. Have fun.
Thank you very much. All right. Pleasure being on the show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, TJ.
All right, there he goes. Darren Jackson. And I will say this, that I would, Kevin and I, you know, we would have played well into September, too, but we had the, you know.
The shoulder and the ankle.
Had the ankle go bad. And I got a hammy right now. And I got that.
DJ proving much better guest than I would have been for News or Roos. By a long shot.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. It was a really long shot. All right, so this is going to be, it's going to be a fun season. And then the Blackhawks are going to have a fun season. We're going to have a fun fall. And then Bears, tomorrow, Jared Payton on the show.
Oh, nice.
Live from Soldier Field before the last game of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the last game of a preseason ever to be played. The way the NFL is going right now.
They just wipe out the preseason?
There is a possibility that they will change what the preseason is.
And the Bears, by the way, they released the video today of the unveiling of the new Halas Hall, which has doubled in size. I'm going to be there tomorrow morning, so we can maybe blab about that tomorrow as well, give you the inside look of what the new Halas Hall is. They've doubled the size of it. They've added practice fields. They added a running hill, which is obviously Walter Payton-esque, you know, he was so big on that. All bigger weight room, new virtual reality room, new draft room. So we're going to walk through Halas tomorrow morning and take a look at everything. I can't wait to see it because this project's been underway for almost 2 full years now. So at least a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the Packers have a running hill. But that has not helped Aaron Rodgers' attitude.
No, he's got a terrible attitude.
He does not. Come on, guys.
I read it on a fan blog site somewhere. He can't get along with anyone.
You read about Tom Brady? Yes. I don't think so.
I think there's a lot of hate about Tom Brady that's unnecessary.
His family doesn't like him.
Well, that's true. But his family is also trying to profit from his name.
That's true.
Without ever taking a hit in the NFL. Well, his brother played football, though, the one that was on The Bachelor, right?
He played a little ball.
Bachelorette?
Yeah, I think he played in college.
Yeah.
He just got engaged.
Yeah, I saw that.
To JoJo Fletcher.
You think Rodgers will be at the wedding? Aaron Rodgers?
I think JoJo will ask about that. Isn't that what she asked on the date when she went home to his house? Is Aaron going to be there? Is Aaron showing up?
We don't talk to him.
When's Aaron coming?
That really hasn't worked out. Well, let's just hope it doesn't work out for Aaron Rodgers this season. And I'm still stinging from this Sports Illustrated prediction that the Bears are going 7-9 and dead last in the NFC North.